A number of people have asked if we've heard anything from Father Richard lately, so I want to read you an email I got yesterday. Deacon Monk, I thought you might want to hear that although his car broke down, your pastor, Father Richard, is fine. I was driving my delivery truck the other day when I saw this guy next to his vehicle, hood up, smoke pouring out. He was wearing a Red Sox t-shirt, and I'm from Boston, so I gave him a lift. But here's the thing. Being a Red Sox fan myself, sometimes when I see somebody on the sidewalk wearing a Yankees logo, I swerve my truck toward them. You know, just to scare them a little. Right after I picked up Father Richard, I saw a Yankees fan. An instinct took over before I remembered I had a priest with me. I swerved back into my lane immediately. I heard a thud, but I didn't see anything in the rearview mirror. I said, oh, sorry, Father, that swerve was just kind of a reflex. And Father Richard said, it's okay. I got him with the door. All right, that didn't really happen, for the record. But Father Richard has been in touch, and he is filling his mind and his soul with more things to bring back to us. So we will see him soon and be prepared. Mary read this well in the first reading. I want to take you back to it. Moses said to the people, this command is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky that you should say, who will go get it for us that we may carry it out? It's not up in the sky. In the time of Moses, that's basically the same thing as saying, this is not rocket science. Or as one of our verbally challenged politicians said not long ago, it ain't rocket surgery. God's law, God's will, God's love, Moses says, is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. But then he drops the hard part. You have only to carry it out. It's easy to proclaim things, says the preacher. Much harder to carry them out. And we have a tendency to complicate our understanding of God's love. And while proclamation and study are both important and useful, they are only useful as long as we don't let them become hiding places for our fear and our selfishness. I know that when I allow that to happen in my life, and I do, it brings with it this sense of busyness and self-importance. And then I find myself subconsciously or consciously trying to pass these things off as substitutes for the self-giving that is at the core of Jesus' life and of his invitation to all of us. And our gospel passage today gives us a story about the difference between self-importance and self-giving. Two very important Israelites go out of their way to avoid helping another Israelite who's been robbed and beaten on a stretch of really bad road. It's always dangerous to assume the motives of other people, but I'm going to take a shot at it anyway. One man is a priest of the temple. The other is a Levite. The Levites guard the temple. It seems that they can't be bothered with their near-dead countrymen. There would, after all, be ritual impurity involved in just touching him. Theirs, they seem to be thinking, is a higher calling. It can't be put off to deal with this. Because they are busy professionals in the work of proclaiming they love God. And it's a hard road between Jericho and Jerusalem. If you look out the north windows of our sanctuary, you can probably see part of the road that goes up to Mount Lemmon. Most of us have been on it. That's about the grade, the angle of the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. So imagine yourself walking up that road. Now take away all the trees. Now take away all the water. Now take away the pavement. Then turn up the temperature a little. That's where our injured Israelite lies bleeding in a ditch. It has all the comforts of a rock pile in Yuma. Look through his eyes. Two of your religious leaders have just passed you by. Too important, too busy to stop. And along comes a Samaritan, someone who is shunned by the Israelites. Translate that into today, and you might imagine a migrant farm worker or an undocumented laborer. He is the one who stops. He gives up his oil and his wine to tend your wounds. He gives up his ride so you can be carried to safety, and then he writes a blank check to pay for your care. He's really exposing his resources for a stranger, and not just a stranger, but an Israelite from the people who hate the Samaritans. But it's the Samaritan who is the hands and feet and face of God for the wounded Israelite. Jesus even gets a scholar of the law to see this. The scholar questions Jesus not to learn, but to find a way to attack him, and winds up having to acknowledge that it is the one who treated him with mercy who is true neighbor to the injured man. And Jesus invites him to go and do likewise. I think it might be even an expression of how deep this antipathy is, that the scholar doesn't even say, oh, it was the Samaritan. He can't say Samaritan in a complimentary sentence. He says, oh, it was the one who did that. It was that one. And then Jesus says, go, do that. But that is really hard for us. Last weekend, I spent part of Saturday with a friend who in his mid-50s was disabled by a stroke this past September. We were working on something important to keep him living independently. And at one point, he paused and just said, you really learn who your friends are. So many people, even from my own church, just turned their backs. I became invisible. And I read just this week about a woman with 6 kids and 1 flat tire, stranded by the side of a freeway, as her 12-year-old son was fumbling around trying to change the tire. All the cars just kept zipping by, no one stopping. One driver slows down, rolls down the window, and yells out, I'd like to help, but I'm on my way to church. There is a proclamation of love with no action. Today, Jesus is asking each one of us, not what do you believe, not do you perform the right ritual. He's asking us, how do you act? Do you substitute busyness for true compassion? Do you act to protect your privilege or to spread my love? Do you make a judgment that some are worthy of my love and your effort or deserving of it and some are not? I love these words of Dorothy Day. The gospel takes away our right forever to discriminate between the deserving and the undeserving. And these words from Blessed Teresa of Calcutta sum up this gospel story quite well. Jesus gave up everything to do the Father's will, to show us that we too must be willing to give up everything to do God's will, to love one another as he has loved each one of us. It is not enough for me to say, I love God. I also have to love my neighbor. I must be willing to give whatever it takes to do good to them. This requires that I be willing to give until it hurts. I have found the paradox, she said, that if you love until it hurts, there can be no more hurt, only more love.